You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 214 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, September 30th of 2019, and here in Kansas City, I'm your host, J.R. Cook, and I'm joined by my two coughing co-hosts over here.
What? I didn't cough.
Just Ray the cougher.
What?
How's it going, Ray?
It's going pretty all right, you know. I've been chilling. I got legend on a couple servers, you know. I didn't try to get high legend because it doesn't matter. Just to prepare for next month, you know. I'm ready for the grind tomorrow. I think I'm gonna just get legend day one and potentially stream it. Not sure about the streaming it part though. Don't wanna. Actually, it's a new month, so I can get my once a monther in tomorrow. Knock it out of the way right at the beginning. Yeah. That seems pretty good.
And the co-host over there who made the cough, who's a master ventriloquist and made it sound like Ray was the one that was coughing. We have Danny. How's it going, Danny?
Good. Man, yeah. I actually accidentally hit legend as well, trying to get my 1,000 wins in one of my classes.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are making me feel like a bum. You're saying, I accidentally hit legend, and I'm like...
I didn't set out to hit legend this month. I set out to get 1,000 wins, and I didn't get the 1,000 wins, but I got legend.
I'm sitting over here at, like, rank 19 right now.
Yeah. I mean, definitely am preparing, but those portraits, man, I'm hyped for that. I didn't even know I had 1,000 wins on all the classes. Sorry to interrupt you, JR.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm slightly short. I'm about 300 wins out over three classes.
I think I have three classes that are at 1,000, so I'm a little further behind you guys. I spent a decent amount of time playing the single player content, though. That's where I've been spending my time.
Yeah, the single player content, surprisingly good. That was one of the things that we haven't spoken about for a bit, but the single player content is surprisingly robust. I actually really like it.
Really?
They figured out what was wrong with the old content by adding in the final boss and making it very hard. And then they actually added in a bunch of like Easter eggs. I think that they designed it very well.
Hmm. Because I find it funny that you say that, because I'm just sitting over here, like, even though I've been playing it a lot, just because I've been just wanting to get through it and, you know, beat it with all the classes or whatever, just to do it because I paid money for it. I'm going to do it. I haven't been that like enthralled by it. I'm just tired of, I'm tired of that format. You know,
I think the format does need a shake up, but with the format itself, right? In the past, it was like, okay, I'll do it with each class, I'll go through, I'll beat it, and then I'll be done for like the whole time. And now it turns out it's like, hey, if I can build a fairly strong deck, I beat the final boss every time. I mean, not every time, but maybe 80% of the time I get it. And now with this final boss, it's like, I'd say it's less than 50%. I clear it every single time. I more like a 20-10 percenter that I finish the final boss. And it comes back and it makes me replay it, because maybe I'll play it six times now instead of the one time I'll play through to just complete it. Because it's like, oh, well, I'll kill the boss and see if I can one-shot it this time. Or I think that having the final boss and having that go through and be like a continuous thing is really cool. It gives you more motivation to continue playing right after the first one.
Okay, Ray, you know what, Ray? I sit through all of your esports talk. You can give me 5 minutes of talking about single player content.
I'm sorry.
Without being a sarcastic butt.
Okay, okay, continue. I'm sorry. I just had to. I had to. I couldn't help it.
It's fine.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I couldn't stop myself, man.
You know how many hours I've wasted in my life listening to you talk about esports, right?
Yes. Okay. I know.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. Just over wanted to put that out there.
Over 20 years of podcasting, we have talked about esports a lot.
It's true.
All right. Anyway, no, that's probably enough of the single player talk anyway. It is what it is. I don't know. Evidently Danny enjoys it more than I do right now, so but I still play through it because I paid $20 for it. I'm gonna get my $20 worth out of it.
Have you seen any I'm gonna continue on this. Have you seen the Easter eggs of Bob's Dex?
No.
So Bob, there's a reward that you can get for one of the treasures called the VIP membership, where if you get this, you can go when you go into the tavern. It's a fairly rare treasure, but it gives you an upgraded experience with Bob. And then Bob comes in instead of just all the minions you get like double the minions put on the board, double the minions on your opponent's board. And they're all really good minions there, but there and you get more mana and the effects are a little different. You can get a bunch of really crazy things happening. There is I think it's a 5% after, because first off you have to get this and then you have to get Bob again after that, but there's a 5% chance on each instance of when you get into Bob to get something that you spend all of your mana and it is replace your deck with a copy of one of Bob's secret decks. So these decks are some of the most broken, overpowered things you can ever get. And so what it is like the first one that I've never gotten it myself. I've only seen people get it on stream. Like Crip went and he got it, and one of them was every single quest reward. So you know how so you would get the summoning portal. You went through all your minions or 4/4s for the rest of the game. Amara, you have take an extra turn. All of the other things. So it's sick. And then there was another one where every single card in your deck is Pogo Hopper.
Oh, jeez.
So there's a bunch of really like broken things.
Oh yeah. That sounds kind of cool.
I like the Easter egg on that because it's something that it's one of those things. I like that in a video game where it's like something that the average person's not going to even know about until like people will go through and it'll happen to one person. It becomes a highlight. I think that's really cool.
I think the only thing I'm concerned about is the way you described it as once you get into Bob, and I'm like,
this week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right, so going on to the news. anyway, I wanted to thank our legend of the show, Taku MZ. If you want to be a legend of the show or anything like that, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can become a legend. So the first thing we wanted to talk about in the news, though, is we missed an episode last week, and trust me, it came down to work getting in the way for both Danny and I, and then Ray had some fun that I don't want to get into on the show.
I had an emergency.
So the last time we talked about the Snip Snap problem in Wild and people getting banned for just playing the card basically, and Blizzard addressed that and that they admitted that their banning system is imperfect and they're reversing the bans. And so,
I think this is good. It's good to see them react to this, to say, hey, we made a mistake. We're going to go through and do that. It's unfortunate that it happened in the first place. And it's unfortunate that it took something as big as it going viral, people tweeting about it, it going on Reddit, for action to be the correct action. But as we found out through this experience, being vocal on social media seems to be the answer to everything.
Yeah, it's really ironic too, because that is exactly what they tell you not to do for your feedback. They're just like, just email us and like, or talk to us personally somehow, and that will be more effective than outrage on social media, when they've shown the exact opposite to be true. Right. Like if you send an email or something, or like message somebody on Twitter, you just get ignored.
Right.
And
so I have a good example of that. That actually has nothing to do with Hearthstone, but it's Blizzard. So every month, Blizzard puts out these limited edition prints, art prints that are like 150 or 100. I think it's 150 normally, and they sell out quick. And they sell them for like $60 or something like that. But there's only 150 of them printed. And this last month, they sold these prints. And then the next day, they're kind of up for sale again. Like, they weren't sold out. And people noticed that and then were like, oh, this is still up. So they bought them. And they usually don't ship out until the end of the month. So right now, they should be shipping out. But the problem is, the people that bought them on the second day already have them because they ship like 3 days later. And so they've had them for like 2 weeks now. And everybody that ordered them on the first day don't have them. It still says their order's processing. And so something's been up with that, right? Because we're pretty sure at this point all of those prints are sold out. The people that bought them on the second day got them, and the people that actually got them on the first day are screwed. And people have been emailing Blizzard about it, and Blizzard's like, oh, no, there's not a problem here. Oh, no, there's not a problem here. And emailing and emailing and emailing, and nothing has happened. Nothing's been communicated. And I'm just like, man, someone just needs to take this out on the social media and get it resolved, because Blizzard's not doing a damn thing about it. And this is proof. Yeah. This is proof. You do something on social media, it gets done. You do it on email, you know, lots of people emailing about this issue, and they're not doing a dang thing about it or even helping these people that are asking questions. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, it is the world we're living in.
Anyway, that was a really long-winded way of saying, hey, Blizzard, come on.
Come on, guy. Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Get your act together.
Get your act together. Okay. But honestly, that's how a lot of this stuff works, and it's not just Blizzard that does it. It's everybody. Which is unfortunate. So the other thing, we've got a new Masters tour that got announced. In Arlington, Texas, on January 30th through February 2nd, over at Esports Stadium Arlington, will be the next Masters tour. And if you want to qualify for this, I believe that is between October 3rd and November 24th. And then remember that they changed a bunch of stuff around the Masters tour, and I believe Arlington is the first one with these changes, right?
Yeah, unless they change it again. They've been making so many changes to things like the format. Like, now it's, instead of the shield thing that they changed because Specialist wasn't good, now that's not a thing. Now it's Conquest Best of Three and single elimination for the qualifiers. But as far as the format that Arlington will actually be in, honestly, it's, I don't want to prepare for anything specific. Like, it could be changed by the time that comes around.
Yeah.
But for the qualifiers and everything, it's a best of three conquest.
Right. I'm just talking about the qualifiers. That's what I'm talking about.
Best of three conquest.
Yeah. So if you want to qualify for Arlington, one of the ways you can do it is winning a Masters qualifier open event. If you're at Bucharest, finish at least 7-2. You can win an on-site Masters qualifier at the Bucharest event. Place within the top eight of a Masters qualifier for five different times. So if you get top eight in five different opens without winning, you get that way. Or what Ray's going for, place top 16 in the in-game ladder in October or November.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try both of them. I'm going to do both things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to. You can't rely on a top 16 finish. That's almost impossible to rely on.
So my question,
I think it's possible. You just have to be prepared to just, you know, lose your...
Well, I mean, think about this, though. Think about how long you were... Like, you would do a grind maybe, I don't know, two-thirds of the way through the month. You would go through, solidify your rank, and then you would wait until the last day, and then you'd do it. So I think that now, like... It just expands how long you have to be doing that grind, where it's like, to solidify a spot in top 16, I think that's almost impossible.
You would literally have to just queue on rank one legend and keep winning for a long time, which is, I don't know, man. That's just the barrier to like the high ranks is going to be pretty tight. It's going to be very difficult. Like, you'll see so many posts of like people who haven't really been through something like this before, where like you'll win on like rank 10 or something and you'll just stay rank 10, and then you'll win on rank 10 again and you'll still be rank 10, and you'll yeah. like you'll still get those posts where people are just like, what is even happening here? But that
I think that most certainly will happen.
So Ray, if you get let's say you the first week or something like that, you win an open, or the second week, are you still gonna try for the ladder?
No, no, God, no, no, no. What am I, an idiot?
Hey, I didn't know. Maybe you're. Oh wait, this is Ray we're talking about. He doesn't go the extra mile. Never mind.
What do you mean? There is no extra. You're literally wasting your time, man. Like,
yeah, it's all about that min max, right?
But yeah, like I'm gonna stream tomorrow, get my once a month in. Maybe I'll stream again in November to get my once a month in. That'll be my ladder if I win a qualifier. That's it, man.
Top 16 ladder and all the prestige that comes from that.
That's nothing. Nobody cares if you're qualified. It means literally nothing. There's no points. It's all or nothing, man. It's like, if anything, it's an embarrassment, because that means you know you just wasted your time.
But,
like,
no, the embarrassment, you're at the top 16.
Is that top an accomplishment, 16. Though? Do people care?
I care.
I don't think. Do you imagine what I could do with all that time that I spent not playing Hearthstone? Like, think of all the things I could do, all the activities I could get done.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the app that someone put out? Like, you could put in the number of Hearthstone games that you played, and then you could figure out what you could have done with that time.
Yes.
Mine was like, learn a second language.
Yeah, like I could have learned Russian like three times over by now if I didn't play Hearthstone. Like, I could be like 10 linguals. Okay.
What is this? Is this a website or something?
Yeah, it was a website or like an app or something. It was like,
yeah, I don't the amount of website.
It was put in the amount of games that you won, and then like average game time at the time was like maybe 8 minutes or something. So like if you have 50,000 wins, times that by 8, and then like what you could do with your time, like in that amount of time.
And there were a lot of really cheeky things where it was like, oh, you could go through and learn how to play the piano, or you could go through and learn a new language, or it had timings for all of this stuff.
Man, I want to know what this website is.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't even know if it's up anymore, but
yeah, it might have been taken down.
Oh, is this it's not a newer thing?
No, this is like this is a long time ago. This is like probably 4 years ago at least.
Oh, wow. I first time I'd heard of it. I wanted to go to it because I was like, man, I want to see what I could have done.
Okay. No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
I don't need to know what I could have done with my life.
I want to know, Ray, what I could have done with my life instead of listening to you talk about esports. So
I mean, that's only like I don't know. You probably could have done a lot, honestly.
I could have done a lot.
The more that I think, I think about it, like, that's at least like 24 hours of watching Netflix. You could have watched a whole series.
You could have marathon Breaking Bad. How about that one?
Yeah, you could have watched the entirety of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But instead, you chose to listen to me.
It's true. But the biggest news of this past week, this was just announced like 4 days ago.
Can I talk about the Grandmasters really quick before we get into it?
No. Yeah, you can.
Okay. I just want to point out that relegation is actually getting close. So two people will be relegated, the bottom of each division for each region. So currently in Division A, Strifecrow is in last place, but ETC is second to last, and then Firebat. So right now it's basically ETC or Strifecrow that's going to get relegated. It's most likely going to be Strifecrow at this point. And then it's either going to be Zalay, who's in seventh, or Race, who's in eighth. Those are really the only people that are at risk of relegation.
So
ETC, Strifecrow, or Zalay, and Race.
So who replaces them?
Well, it'll be determined by what happens at Bucharest.
Okay.
So we don't top monetary winners, Dog. Don't forget about that.
Oh, yeah. Dog could come back.
Dog could come back.
That's true. If he ever gets bored, he'd be like, all right, I'll come. Dude, that'd be such a good meme if Dog just came back. into Grandmasters.
Really good. All right, I took a break. All right, I'm ready to go back. I'm ready to get back at it. That would be such a good storyline.
No, it would be even funnier because he's also taking that spot away from the second highest earner. So, like, if somebody get, like, say a North American player gets second at Bucharest or something, and then they're the highest earner, but Dog chooses to come back and just like that person just gets wrecked. Like that person's probably so happy. They're like, yes, I made Grandmasters. My life has changed. Everything is good. And then Dog's like, nah. You know what? I want to come back.
That's what I kind of low key chaotic. The chaotic evil side of me wants to see that happen.
Oh my god, I would die laughing. Unless it, like, because I'm not going to Bucharest, so it's not going to be me. Right? That's such a terrible attitude, but it's true, it's not going to be me, so, oh, it would be funny.
Alright, so, the biggest news of this week. The other day we got a nice little blog post, and, you know, you're reading through it, and you're like, alright, they're adding more events, cool. They're gonna, you know, do they're talking about the recent Fyre Festival event, looking for more opportunities to introduce even more large-scale in-game events, themed tavern brawls, stuff like that, right? It's like, all right, yeah, cool, you guys are talking about that. There's an upcoming event on October 4th that they're gonna do, a spooky event, and then they dropped the bomb, shaking up standard play, and you're like, what's this? And they're going to add, what, 32 cards?
23.
23 cards. I had the numbers reversed. 23 cards from Wild are coming back. And the two cards that they have confirmed at this point is Ragnaros the Fire Lord and Nazoth the Corruptor.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Those are some big boys. Nazoth is like, that is just going to be crazy. Dude, Nazoth control shaman with Shudderwalk. Ugh, Shudderwalk. Nazoth, oh my god, that's just gonna be fun.
With Nazoth, there are certain cards that gain a ton of value. This is actually really interesting because this bridges the gap between standard and wild at this point. Especially Nazoth, like for certain cards are gonna get a lot stronger. Something like Toot Boy, I don't know the name of the card, the 6-mana 3/4 with Reborn Death Rattle. Like that card is just broken in wild right now, and I think it's mediocre in standard. Mm-hmm. With Nazoth, that card becomes ridiculous because you summon two of them back off of Nazoth and then you get the two reborn halves of it back, so like control decks are going to get considerably stronger.
No, that card's still actually really good in standard. Like it's not really played because control is not a thing right now, but like the few control decks that people try out, you just have to play two of them because there's just that is such a good neutral life gain card.
Yeah,
it's like a Sludge Belcher almost.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're doing this for a limited time, and it's for like an event. So they haven't said yet how long that time's going to be. And they're going to announce more about it, along with the full list of cards. But we'll talk about the leaked list here in a bit, on October 4th. So in just 4 days, we will know everything about this event. I have to say, like, I think this is really, really cool. And I've said this many times now in this year that Team 5 right now is knocking it out of the park. Like, I'm 100%. Really excited about this.
This is the most interesting thing they have ever done with something that, like, is going to affect competitive play. Like, this is not an event where it's just like, okay, you can play with these cards in a tavern brawl. This is like going to be in effect for, I believe it's going to be in effect for Bucharest, and which is a Masters tour, and it's going to be in effect for ladder qualifications as well for Texas for at least one of the months, which is, I mean, I don't know, that's just so cool. Like the whole meta basically changes, and they don't even have to, they're not even making new content really.
Right.
Like they're just, this is something that we've been talking about for so long, just adding in old stuff and other games always reuse old cards and stuff that people liked. And it's always a good experience most of the time. I assume they've also practiced with these cards internally. They know that there's nothing super broken. And if there is, honestly, with this current team, I wouldn't be surprised if they just like maybe not made nerfs, but like rotated it back to wild.
Right.
If it was like too broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also speculation that this is a testing ground for either the future of standard with a rotating like secondary set to the core set and just being consistent with that, or even the thing with their potentially like a standard plus plus. So a different legacy format rather than just standard and wild, because the two formats are the most distinct they've ever been because of the distance of the card pools. And it's very, very different between the two formats right now. So I think that there's enough room to sneak in a third format entirely where it's like, hey, you get maybe you get like a subsection of wild cards along with standard, and this becomes like its own competitive format. And I think that would be really interesting.
That would be cool, but I really like what they're doing with this, where they're just dumping it into standard.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think that this is really cool, and this would be a nice shakeup going forward as well.
Yeah, what I like about it is, you know, we always get into those areas where the meta gets stale, and you're like, okay, I'm just waiting for the next expansion to hit, and they just throw this in. They're like, no, we're going to mix up the meta for the next 4 weeks now. And just turn everything around, because adding 23 cards and adding 23 like good cards is gonna be a huge deal.
Like almost all of these cards could create, well, maybe not create their own art. Like Ragnaros isn't gonna create an archetype, but it is going to add to something. And like N'Zoth is gonna create an archetype. There's a lot of cards that were leaked. And a lot of them are just cards where you're just like, okay, this is just going to make an old archetype just revived completely. And that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah. So before we get into what the leaked cards are, and this is, once again, this is just a leak that came out. So this isn't official. We won't have the official cards until October 4th. If you're curious or you're like, man, I don't have Ragnaros, I don't have N'Zoth or anything like that, these cards are going to be added to your collection for the event. And then they'll go away again. But if you already own them, you keep them forever. But I think that also is really cool, where people that don't have these cards will just have them in their collection for the event to be able to play. And I think that's a great way to do that.
I think it's really cool for new players as well, right? Yeah. Where they add in these cards, and it's like, hey, well, I can now see how, I think this is going to be a really good bridge to wild for people, where it's like, oh my God, I really like how N'Zoth is. This is such a cool card. And he's in the format for 20 something days or whatever, potentially. And then it's like, okay, well, N'Zoth goes away now. And it's like, oh man, I wish I could play N'Zoth. So they're like, oh, well, the card actually exists in a different format.
Yeah.
So I think this will be really interesting in that perspective as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that kind of might drive people towards wild too, especially if they support the format, which, I mean, that's side of, I have no idea about that one, but that almost makes me more hopeful that they will support it after the fact.
Yeah,
and then also, I mean, definitely, there's a knowledge pool in Wilds. We can joke about how small it is, but I mean, we have played with these cards consistently for the past 4 years. So, I mean, there are some things that you may not expect with some of these decks, like, I don't know. With N'Zoth, it's like, oh, well, let's look at some of the Reno builds that run N'Zoth. And then I think that the wild community is going to be tapped for its resources during this period where it's like, hey, these guys have played thousands of games with N'Zoth. What looks the best so far? And people can draw on the expertise of players who have used wild and who have done this in the past, and then springboard off that to be successful in standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be hitting you up, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm gonna go over some of these cards real quick, and I think what I'm gonna do is first of all, I'm gonna explain. So once again, these are leaks. This isn't official, but we have good reason to believe that this is probably going to be it. So the way this is shaping out to be is we've got nine classes, and there's going to be two cards per class. So that's 18 of the cards there. And then to round out to the 23, you've got five neutral legendaries. So the five neutral legendaries, we've already had revealed Ragnaros the Fire Lord and N'Zoth the Corruptor. The other three are Emperor Thorason, the Curator, which if you remember the Curator, he was the 4/6 taunt that draws a beast, dragon, and murloc from your deck. He's a mech. And then, of course, the ever-popular Sylvanas. So that's a crazy neutral legendary pool right there.
Yeah, and don't scoff at the Curator. That's no. The one that seems the weakest out of all of them.
He's
but
not.
But if you go back to Un'Goro, there was a period where the Curator was probably the strongest legendary in Paladin in general, just because you were running Finley, the original Finley in that deck. But being able to draw a dragon, a beast, and a murloc with the Curator is very strong. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is a control Paladin deck that uses Curator. So that is where I would see that card fitting in with, I mean, everyone knows the power of Emperor Thoris, and there's gonna be a ton of combo decks that just get a ton better because of that. And then every single N'Zoth deck is gonna be wanting to run Sylvanas because you guys don't have that many good death rattles. So that's, it's like a package deal almost.
Yeah. So that's a crazy pool of legendaries right there. They're not the only legendaries. We do have like I believe 4 different class legendaries, 5 if you want to include the Paladin, which probably should have been a legendary, but I'll go over some of the class cards real quick. So Druid, and we'll talk about each one of these. So Druid, it's Kun the Forgotten King, which if you remember is the 10 mana 7/7, which has the choose one, gain 10 armor, refresh your mana crystals. And then we have Astral Communion, which was a 4 mana spell. It says gain 10 mana crystals, and then you discard your hand. So, yep. Kun's exciting.
I think that, I mean, Astral Communion's a meme card. I think they put a couple meme cards in this, and I think that that is a reflection of where they think Druid is in the meta right now in Standard. They didn't want to give it too much power. But Kun seems like, especially in something where you get both of you the effects, Kun seems very strong if you were playing Quest Druid and you're able to get 10. It's a 0 mana, 7/7, gain 10 armor. That's a very good card.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Kun's pretty busted.
Yep.
And I like having Kun without Iviana. That is definitely one of the more interesting things because, I mean, Kun is just one of the most broken cards in Wild because of its partner, Iviana. But without that, I like the breaking up of the combination because it's like, okay, now when you're playing this, you can't just go in and automatically win the game when you play the card. It's played more for a value sense, which is really interesting.
Yeah. What's the bell card that draws like a 7-drop, 8-drop, 9-drop, and 10? I feel like that card might get really good.
Psych Melon, yeah, that's good.
Like Sylvanas is now, like, you don't really have 6-drop. Now you get Sylvanas or Thorasan. You get like, I don't know, there's so many.
It's 7, 8, 9, or no,
it's... Yeah, 7, it's, or is it 7, 8, 9, 10? Okay, it's, I think it might be 7,
you get
8,
4, 9. So you get 10, 9, 8, 7. Because Azaleen is typically the one that we draw. So it's a little bit, it's a little... dicey, but with a strong 10 drop as well, and with N'Zoth as well, right? And a lot of these value decks, one of the things you find a lot, if we're playing like Hadronox Druid, N'Zoth is typically that 10th drop in Druid a lot. So, but Curator is a 7. Curator would be a very good 7 drop. You play another dragon like Alexstrasza on 9. There are a lot of cards that you can do that. And the 8 typically a lot of the times now is Geppetto. So, especially in a lot of these decks, because if you get a 10 drop for one cost, typically the 10 drops you're using for the effect. So,
yeah,
that's where Psych Melon sees its play. So it would be really interesting to build a deck on that.
Yeah,
there's just so many possibilities. Although Astral Computed, I'm not that excited for because I'm just like that card can be so degenerate, man. Like
it's never found a place where it's good in any meta. I mean, I think this is more adhering to a different player. This is adhering to Timmy, who's like, I want to go in and make big things happen, and they'll lose 80% of their games. But on that 20% of the games, when they hit Astral Communion or innervate Astral Communion, and then they draw into the 7 mana overflow, and then they draw the rest of their deck. Like, that's going to be one fun game out of every 20 games that happens, right? That's who the card is really designed for.
Yeah. So Hunter, we got Call of the Wild back. For those that remember the 9 mana spell, it summons all 3 animal companions. And we got Lock and Load, which is the 2 mana spell. Each time you cast a spell this turn, add a random Hunter card to your hand. Once again, like, Call of the Wild, great card. Lock and Load, and it's decent enough. Card generation, right? Which Hunter's supposed to be weak at.
Yeah. But I mean, they're taking it from a Legacy set where there's a ton of cards, right? Yeah. And things cross boundaries. I think that you don't, especially with these, I wouldn't look too deeply into the class identities.
No, I was just making a bad joke. But I think this also shows kind of where Hunter is at in the meta as well. So,
mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not excited about the Hunter cards.
Though. Imagine Vol'jin with Call of the Wild, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Hunter cards, like, I'm not excited for them. They're just like the least exciting out of all the cards by far.
Yeah. So the mage cards, I'm really, really excited about. Most excited about, and Danny says we're going to hate it, but I'm excited about it, is Flame Waker, not to be confused with Flame Walker. It's a 3 mana, 2/4, after you cast a spell, deal 2 damage, randomly split among enemies. And then the
Black
good
Rock
old,
Mountain Boys.
Yeah, the good old Babbling Book is back. The 1 mana, 1/1 that with the battle cry of add a random mage spell to your hand.
Yeah. I think they hit this spot on. Mage isn't in such a good spot in Standard, right? It's not super duper strong.
Nope.
I think that Flame Waker is probably, I don't know, it might be the strongest card that Mage has ever had.
Yeah. I love Flame Waker. Love that card.
I mean, that was one of my favorite decks, man. I remember climbing to rank 1 Legend with like Ronin Tempo Mage with Barnes. You play Barnes, get Ronin.
That was
oh my
good.
God. That was so fun, dude. Flame Waker, but this was before AP. I was the Tempo Mage guy before APX played Hearthstone, man. Like,
yeah.
This was before he even played. That was one of the days. I loved that was my jam.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
The thing that you guys haven't seen, though, is that Tempo Mage has evolved to such a degree with Flame Waker because there are a ton of really cheap spells in these prior expansion and the couple ones before it. You have the cards like, whatchamacallit? Like, Magic Trick is really good. Ray of Frost is insane. Shooting Star. And then you just have Mana Cyclone for refill. So we currently have a deck in Wild, Mana Cyclone, that's cool. We call it Cyclone Mage. And it is probably one of the most degenerate decks ever. I don't think it'll get to the same level of degeneracy because you don't have Arcane Giants or the Quest. But ultimately, like, this deck has such a strong power base. I assume this deck is going to be just hopping in as a tier 2, like one of the top tier 2 decks automatically, if not a tier 1 deck. Like, this is, if you're buying stock right now, invest in Flame Waker.
Oh, 100%, man. I know we got that Bitcoin Mage train going before, but no, man. This is the new. This is gonna be so good. I'm excited.
This is the new. All right.
Yes. This is now Bitcoin Mage 2.0. The one where you kill your opponent really quickly.
Yeah. So for those that remember back in the days, you're gonna love this one for Paladin, as the mysterious challenger has come back into the arena. He's a Dr. Six, the 6 mana, 6/6 battlecry. Put 1 of each secret from your deck into the battlefield. And then he is being paired up with his buddy Avenge. The secret that when one of your minion dies, give a random friendly minion +3/+2.
This is by far the strongest Paladin secret that has ever been printed. The one thing that I do question about Secret Paladin in general, and I think that there's going to be a Secret Paladin deck that comes back to Standard, but the big thing about it is that back in its heyday, you had the combination of turn two shielded mini bot, turn three muster for battle, and those two cards really drove the deck. I'm not sure you have as many good early game tools. I'm like, you have some of them now with like the really strong one drop that you have in Paladin and some of the other things. It's going to be a different shell, but I mean, Mysterious Challenger is a great top end. It's like, the question is filling in the rest of the gaps now. Can you do that? And I'm very interested in seeing what happens. I'm also interested when we look at the statistics of this deck, and this is something that has happened notoriously throughout Wild's history, is that the curve decks of Secret Paladin has traditionally scored very high in play percentage, like when you look at HS replays, because there was minimal decision making. So I wouldn't be surprised if you're looking at stats and evaluating it in standard if there is a curve out version of this deck. And it's really high percentage because it's hard for people to screw it up, ultimately.
I mean, that was the big reason. You nailed on the head where the big reason why Secret Paladin was so successful is you knew exactly what to play every turn. There was no questions. It's you play your 2-drop, then you play your 3-drop, then you play your 4-drop, then you play your 5-drop, and then you play Mysterious Challenger, and then you play Dr. Boom.
I wonder if it's going to be better now. Like, the secret cards that exist now for Paladin are actually insanely good. Like, I was thinking that Secret Paladin was going to be a deck in standard when I saw the new cards for Secret Paladin, like the what is it? The guy that's like a 2-3, that get buffed or the weapon.
Oh shit! And that's gonna be a really strong card. You're gonna have it's gonna exist.
There's like so many, like the Secret Paladin is a deck that I really truly did think was gonna be a thing because there were so many good cards, but I just could never make it work, and it was just too awkward, and you didn't really have any strong like mid to late game options and stuff. But now with Mysterious Challenger plus the Avenge, like Avenge is definitely the best secret for Paladin besides maybe Revive, but I don't know, man. I think Secret Paladin's going to be a huge force to reckon with, and I do think it's going to be easy to play, so I agree with you with that stats stuff that you were saying.
The other secret that I think is very strong is the, I don't remember the name of it, but it's the one that gives your minions +2 health. That is one of the strongest secrets in Paladin, just because it even plays itself in right now in Odd Paladin and Wild. So I see this being a really strong thing where your opponent, to clear your board, most of the time they have to set something up and they're like, okay, well, my flame strike right here will clear these 3-4 minions. I'll ping this minion and I'll flame strike it. And a lot of times the board clears are geared directly for the minions that are played, but adding 2 health when your opponent uses a spell forces them to use minion removal, which is very hard when your opponent's curving out. So that secret itself is going to carry a lot of this stuff as well. I'm very excited to see how the secrets synergize, especially when you're missing certain ones from like Wild's history. There are certain secrets that you can play that aren't existent in standard right now. So figuring out what the best secrets are is going to be interesting.
Yeah. And over in Priest, we've got Light Bomb making the comeback, the 6-mana spell. Deal damage to each minion equal to its attack. Probably one of the strongest priest cards in existence, in my opinion, at least spell-wise, removal-wise, especially. And then we've got Vol'jin, which was the 5-mana minion, 6-2 battlecry swap health with another minion. That one's not as exciting. I'm super excited about Light Bomb, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Light Bomb, like Priest, with... I don't know if we ever went over this about Ixar saying they're going to probably do something about Divine Spirit and effectively just kill combo Priest. With that probably being on the docket, I think that Light Bomb and Vol'jin are going to set up for a potential type of control Priest archetype that we really haven't seen in a very long time, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, and one of the things that we see in Wild, just because due to the lack of big board clears in the core set of Standard, every three expansions or so, there's a big board clear that gets put out. And I think that this format actually helps out a lot, because now Blizzard doesn't need to print another board clear, because there's a deck that you can run right now in Wild that runs like 12 board clears, and you just win with Vel and Mind Blast. But every single expansion, the deck gets better and better, because you can just add in the yearly board clear and put that in Plague of Death, Psychic Scream, Light Bomb, Dragonfire Potion, Excavated Evil. The list goes on and on. So I think that they don't necessarily, if you're able to sneak a couple cards back in from the past, now you don't have to waste a card spot in Priest when designing the class on some mass board removal. You can just borrow it from one of the prior expansions and then go in and put in a cool legendary or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Rogue got the legendary Shaku the Collector, which was the 3-mana 2/3 that had stealth whenever this attacked, add a random card to your hand. And they got the what Danny liked to call the Squash Burglar, the 1-mana 1/1 pirate, battle cry of add a random card to your hand. So this is all about adding random cards to your hand from your opponent's class. That's what they're doing here.
Burgle Rogue, they're really trying to push this. So yep. It makes me think that they weren't satisfied with how well the quest did, and they want better ways to be able to get cards from other classes. But the big thing that you always want to recognize with these two cards, and this is one of the issues with Burgle Rogue in Wild, and the reason it will never become tier one, is that these two cards read, take it from your opponent's class, not another class. Right. So if Rogues were to become meta and like the best deck in the game, you're not going to be able to get the quest off in the mirror match, because you're just getting a card from Rogue.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, these are strong cards. Squash Burglar is one of the
burglar.
It's a strong card. I'm not sure how strong it will be without patches. That is one of the things that, I mean, it's played in Wild still, but it's mostly played because you get 2/1/1s on turn one.
Yeah.
And I mean, a 1/1 on turn one is okay, but it's not anything that's worth just playing in general in Wild, but maybe it's, the meta's slow enough for Standard where you can play it.
I don't know. I think this is just them trying to push Quest Rogue. Like, that's the only real thing I am seeing with this. With the Rogue cards, which I think Quest Rogue actually could be a thing. It's if you get four random cards from other classes, that's how you get counters on the quest. And then once you hit four, you get a 3/2 weapon that makes you invulnerable when you attack, which can be really powerful. So I think that that's what they're trying to go for here with these additions to Rogue. And I could honestly see it working. I've played against some Quest Rogues like towards the beginning of the set when it was released, and it was definitely a bit too slow and inconsistent, but maybe with the addition of these two cards, it can become consistent enough to actually be a deck in the metagame.
Yeah. So Shaman got one of my favorite cards ever, but I don't know if it's going to work well with this. It was Thing from Below, the 6-mana 5/5 taunt that costs one less for each totem that you summon this game. And then they got Evolve, which was a 1-mana spell. Transform your minions into random minions that cost one more.
Ooh, Evolve is super strong.
Yeah, Evolve is cool.
Yeah, especially with some of the decks. I've seen some controlled Shaman decks in Standard that have played just the 0-mana Evolve. And I mean, any deck that's running that is running two copies of this card as well, just because it goes across the board. A lot of minions generate tokens, but surprisingly, there's actually an Evolve Shaman in Wild that has been taking up a lot of space in the Shaman format. You have Desert Hair, which is a card from this set that summons 3 1/1s. They all cost 3. And like that into an Evolve and Wild is just broken. On turn 4, summon 3/4 drops. Like, there are a lot of very big swing turns, and you now have I don't want to say a critical mass of Evolve effects, but you have more than one. So Evolve definitely helps push that. I'm questioning how good, like you said, JR, Thing from Below will be. The only time I see this scene play in Wild is with Gen, when you have your hero power cost 1 and you're playing a totem every other turn. But then again, being able to get this card down after, like, even getting this out for two, like, four mana, right? Four mana, 5/5, and then hitting an evolve with it. This is one of the prime candidates for an evolve deck that's not necessarily running the quest, because getting a seven drop for free is typically very strong.
Yeah. I'm like, when I saw the thing from below, I was like, what interesting totems really even exist? Like, we only really have Manatai Totem and the Lackey Totem right now,
yeah,
as like alternative totems, and totem synergy cards feel really kind of mediocre to what they were when Thing from Below was originally in Standard. We had the one mana spell that buffed +1/+1 for each totem. We had the guy that when it was a 3/2 for three mana that summoned a random totem, and yep, then there was so many other totem synergy cards that existed. And right now, like, I looked and there's just like significantly less. I think that this card's still going to be really good, most likely, but I don't think it's going to be as insane as people might be making it out to be.
Yeah.
You do have that one mana Totemic Smash and then Spirit of the Shark. So there could be something with along those lines where you have a draw, like, you have like a miracle type deck that runs a lot of cheap spells and Spirit of the Shark. That's something to look into. That is something that's been strong and wild, and you really don't have a payoff in Standard for that. But with Evolve hitting more consistency on one drops in the spell slot for Shaman, I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that becomes a deck. And you're like, in that one, maybe you even, I dare say it, run the zero mana buff your totem cards.
Maybe.
That's true. I don't know. Totally Totems, man. I definitely played that card when I played Totally Totems. And I beat Brian Kibler on stream with Totally Totems before. So you know what? Maybe I'm going to use that as inspiration. Totally Totems 2.0.
Let's go. Totally Totems.
I'm ready.
So Warlock. Warlock got one of my favorite Warlock cards as well. I'm super excited about this. I feel like this was the essential Warlock Zoo card. And we've got Imp Gang Boss, which was the 3-mana 2/4 demon that whenever this minion takes damage, you summon a 1/1 imp. And then the other card is just the completely meme card, Renounced Darkness, which was a 2-mana spell. Replace your hero power and Warlock cards with another classes, the cards cost 1 less.
I mean, I don't, out of all the cards that, like, I mean, I know this isn't confirmed, but if that's like, why would they pick this? They could have picked another good, like, imp card, because there's so much imp or demon synergy right now. There's that giant imp man thing. There's the card that deals 1 damage to your opponent's minions, and then you get +1 on your demons. I don't know, there's so much synergy with, like, demon imp things. And it feels like, I don't know, man, maybe Renounced Darkness will have some type of meme deck thing that'll be worth it, but it feels kind of like a wasted spot to me.
Yeah, it's for the different player. It's for the same guy who's playing Astral Communion Druid.
Yeah, but why do they give Mage 2 of the best cards? Like,
well, I bet they evaluated the classes and said, all right, we need to give Mage some power. We want to hedge on Druid and Warlock.
That's true. But, you're right.
So, I mean, I think they did that with Warrior. We'll get to Warrior in a second. But I'm just glad that they gave Imp Gang Boss in a format where Defile doesn't exist. Because Imp Gang Boss is essentially dead in Wild due to that one card.
Right.
Because if you're playing Zoo ever and you run into another Warlock, they're going to be playing a control deck because the control versions of Warlock are much, much stronger. And Defile just destroys your board. But Imp Gang Boss without that is just a very, very strong card.
Yeah, I loved Imp Gang Boss back in the day. So Warriors, we talked about, they got the Bloodhoof Brave, which was the 4-mana 2/6 taunt that has +3 attack while damaged. And then they got Varian Wrynn, the 10-mana legendary 7/7. He's got the battle cry of draw 3 cards, put any minions you drew directly into the battlefield. I like Varian.
Remember Varian Wrynn back in Temple Warrior days where you'd run Meloriac and stuff? Like
the card that gave the random weapon? Yeah, I remember that. Dude, but, that was one of my favorite decks of all time.
You can play Ragnaros. I remember Ragnaros was played in that deck. Imagine you play Varian Wrynn and you draw Ragnaros as your top end. I'm really excited to see where Ragnaros slots in. It, like, you can run like a Temple Warrior build now. This is really 100%. Where they're pushing it.
Yeah. Dude, Temple Warrior is already almost a thing. Temple Warrior is literally a thing right now. Or it's more aggro, but you could make it more mid-range. And then you have stuff like Rag, Grom, Varian. You have more of a mid-range, like a less of an early game focus strategy. Like, you can still play Bloodhoof Brave. Like, that card's still very good to get off of something like Varian, right? It's like 2/6 taunt. Like, that's still insanely powerful.
I think that's a good design direction, too, because Control Warrior has been the dominant archetype for Warrior for the longest time, and they didn't give any control tools. Like, I mean, maybe Bloodhoof Brave goes in Control Warrior, but I mean, I doubt it. But I think that this really pushes Tempo Warrior, which is very interesting, because it's like, hey, yeah, this deck is strong, but there are alternatives. Try it out. Figure out what archetypes work. They're giving you different puzzle pieces than the current puzzle that's on the board. They're saying, go back to the drawing board, start it up again.
Yeah. So what do you think about... So we've gone through all of the cards at this point. What do you think about all of this?
Like, I'm very excited, man. I can't even really... like, it's so hard to think about the metagame when this change happens, but I definitely know that I'm going to gravitate towards Tempo Mage and Tempo Warrior, because those are one of my favorite... Or those are some of my favorite archetypes from the past. Tempo Warrior was the first deck I ever got rank one legend with. So I don't know. That's just kind of sentimental as well. I'm super excited. And then obviously there's going to be Nazoth shenanigans that everybody's going to be trying out. I mean, somebody's going to break Emperor Thorsan somewhere along the line. Like, first day one, somebody's breaking that card. We all know that. I don't even know, man. There's so many things going on here. It's hard to process because there's just so much that we can
wait for the Elise combo. Oh my god, there's gonna be an Elise combo with Emperor Thorsan.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Because the big thing, this is actually something that, because I played some combo decks with Elise in it, if you discount a card and then you copy it with Elise, the discounted card is still discounted on the copy version as well.
Nice.
So there's gonna be some Malago shenanigans coming back with this.
Yeah.
Oh baby.
Oh yeah. It's good times.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm just ready to see how long they plan to have this last for. I would imagine that they release this, so they'll probably announce it this Friday. I have a feeling that they will release that the following week, probably as soon as the 8th, and they will probably have this going through BlizzCon, which is the first week of like November.
Yeah, I think they will definitely have this for BlizzCon. I don't know. I've heard some rumors there's going to be some special stuff going on at BlizzCon, so I'm assuming it's probably going to be this.
You think this will not release until BlizzCon?
I think it will be, like, I think it'll be out by BlizzCon. Like,
you think it'll be out before BlizzCon and they'll have some special stuff with it at BlizzCon?
Yeah,
Gotcha. Which I would imagine would probably get announced on the 4th then. If that's the case.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Hopefully. Interesting. So, yeah, that's the big news of this week. They also did some other things where they have special portraits now for 1,000 wins. So I think that's really cool.
We were talking about
that earlier.
Yeah, I just want to mention, if anybody switches from Khadgar to Jaina, just don't do it, man. It's not worth it. You're going to be cursed with
Jaina
bad luck.
2.0, right?
You're going to be cursed with bad luck. You're going to lose every game you play. And honestly, I'm just going to probably hate you. So it's not worth it. Just stick to Khadgar. Stick to your guns. Stick to what's right.
Yeah. And then they've done some alternate search terms. Just some quality life improvements, and they changed how quests work. So they cut down on some of the quests that people kind of didn't like. And then they've like, if you get rid of one of the slightly more difficult quests, which are the 60 gold quests, then you're guaranteed to get a 50 gold quest, which are considered the easier quests to complete. So, kind of some cool little stuff to know about. So anyway, this has me super excited that they're doing this stuff before BlizzCon. This is usually the time of the year when people are getting tired of the game a little bit. The meta's getting stale and Blizzard's like, look, we've got a solution. Like, Blizzard has a solution right now, shaking that meta up Every time before an expansion, if they want to do something like this. And I think it's
this huge. May have been the best thing that Blizzard's ever done. To keep the game interesting and all that stuff. This is probably one of the best things they've ever done. And, like, we just gave a card review in the middle of an expansion. Like, that blows my mind.
Yeah.
And then the best thing is that, like, you can't even go in and say, oh, yeah, well, Thing from Below was one of the most broken cards back in the day, but now we're reevaluating the card based off of the situation, which is one of the things that I think really lacks in a lot of card reviews, where it's like, oh, this card will be good in this situation. And it's like, well, we're kind of refining the situation down to here and now. Like, a card like, Thing from Below is the best example, where it's like it was really strong, and it might not be super strong now. And it brings in all these questions, and we get to answer those questions in these next upcoming weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I have not been excited to, like, straight up, I've been pretty bored with Hearthstone since Vegas, just because there's been no incentive. But now with, like, the ladder changes and all stuff going on, it's the first time in a while I'm like, all right, I am going to get down and dirty. I'm going to become my degenerate self, lose my sanity a little bit, and play some good Hearthstone.
Yeah, I mean, so if we go back to July, because I want to point out that review that we got, where all these co-hosts do is talk about how much they hate Hearthstone, and you go back to July. At the time, like, we weren't crapping on the game; we were crapping on the esports scene, which, let's be real, still needs to be crapped on a little bit. But there was a point in time where we were definitely not happy with Team 5 and the development team, and that was just last year, even where it was like, man, these guys just aren't doing what's good for the game or whatever. And I'll say this, one of the things that they did at the beginning of the year, which I'm still upset about, by the way, but it might have changed Blizzard's focus, though, is when they had the big layoffs. And the reason why I'm upset about that is because it was a lot of people I knew. It was a lot of community. It was a lot of esports people. And I felt like that sucked. I felt like Blizzard was turning its back on the community. And I still kind of feel that way, by the way. But on the flip side of those layoffs, they said, we're going to commit to the games themselves. We're not removing developers from the games. In fact, we're going to increase development of games like Hearthstone. And from what we have seen in this last year, Blizzard has definitely delivered on that. They've definitely delivered on that promise.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm still upset that they did what they did there, but they definitely have a vision in mind, and they're delivering on that vision. And I think that's important to point out.
Yeah,
I like how they're trying out different things. They tried the buffs last time. That was a success. They're trying this out. This is guaranteed to be a success. Like, I have no doubt that this is going to be amazing. Yeah. Like, going forward, like, I mean, maybe they try something different every time. It might not hit one time, but maybe they come up with the next best thing. It becomes its own game format, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have so much potential.
Yeah, and also keep in mind, like, the other thing that happened last year is they had a lot of higher ups on that Hearthstone team leave. And I wonder if this also had to do with that as well. It's like, okay, whatever we're doing is not working. Let's try something new. And we don't have someone to tell us no at this point.
I mean, they also have to take risks. Hearthstone, like,
yeah,
Hearthstone is dying to an extent. Like,
right,
there are significantly lower numbers than before, but that's going to happen with any game that's been out for this long.
Yeah,
it has happened with every game, like even League of Legends, all those games. Like,
it's happened to Magic the Gathering, and Magic the Gathering has reinvented itself many, many times. Hearthstone has to do the same.
It's just part of the nature of how things work when they get older. I mean, we're getting Overwatch 2, like.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm just glad that they're actually, putting in the effort to not just let it die, and they're literally reviving it and doing everything that they can to push the creative.
Yeah. And it's funny because on my other podcast, if you ever played Dota Underlords, I do a podcast about that game called Yo, and one of the co-hosts played Hearthstone at one point, and he was like, man, I would play Hearthstone right now, but I just feel like the game just sucks right now. And I'm like, no, you haven't played Hearthstone lately then, because right now I feel like the game is in the best place it's ever been. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay, well, he's like, I guess I'll have to try it and take your word for it. And I'm like, no, really, I feel like the game right now is the best.
Now he's back, yeah.
Now he's back. So,
I think there's just a negative connotation. Like, I think that there has been so much negative press surrounding Blizzard and Hearthstone lately. Yeah. That even though it's almost all esports, like even the Seiko drama, like that made it to Reddit, that made it everywhere, dude. Everybody heard about that stuff, and that has nothing to do with the actual game, but it's still incredibly negative press, and it's just stuff like that keeps happening. So I guess people's perception of the game, even though it's not actually the game, it's just random drama that happens surrounding the game, it makes people think that the actual game itself is worse somehow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree. So moving on, we did get an email, and do we have time? Yeah, we've got time to read this email. So we got this email from my good old friend Michael McGonigal, who is also a patron, and he used to do the BlizzPro ladder optimizer. Sorry, I had to remember what the name was. And hopefully they'll be doing that again here sometime soon. Real life got in the way, bigger than anybody, mostly because of new kids and stuff like that. But anyway, he wrote an email and said, "Hi guys, with the recently announced changes to Hearthstone Master Tour qualifications, it is great to hear that the ladder is going to be relevant again for the ladder grinders. It's a shame though that only the top 16 at the end of the month will make it. As rightfully pointed out on last week's show, it's going to just turn the last day into a complete clown fiesta, boiling down to a bunch of rope queuing and RNG in the last few minutes, with people having to hope if their spot holds into the top 16. Is there a way that this shit show could potentially be avoided while still keeping ladder relevant for qualifications? Perhaps an ELO system measured across the course of the whole month, rather than just where it is positioned on the last second when ladder resets. What are your thoughts?"
I'm cracking my knuckles right now. All right.
What are your thoughts, Ray? What are your thoughts?
Well, so there's this really cool system called HCT points. we used to have them. And that used to determine qualifications for big tournaments. And that you know, that was pretty good. You didn't have to get top 16 and lose your brain. You could just lose your brain getting to top 100, which was significantly easier and more reasonable. And then you just have a cap on open cups like they used to do before. The only problem, like I think it was 2016, maybe 2015, that was by far in a way the best system they had, where it was they had both ladder points and open cup points. And they capped the open cup, so you could only win one per month. The problem with that was that it was open for anybody to run, and there was just a lot of crappy open cups with no admins. And that was the real reason that it ended up failing, was just because anybody could run a tournament, and there were so many tournaments, and most of them were just god-awful. And there was a lot of like shadiness going on and blah, blah, blah. So they just cut it all out and then made only like ladder, and then they had qualifiers for like random like poor stops or whatever. I forget what it was. I just remember like Hot Meowth qualified for like going to Australia through like an online tournament. I forget what exactly that stuff was that they did, but either way, the system before was almost perfect. All they had to do was just lower the number of open cups and up the quantity of them, which is pretty much what we have now because Blizzard runs all the open cups. So I think that going back to a point system where ladder and open cups are a thing is exactly what we would want right now. And I'm not really sure why they chose to go with this all or nothing mindset for qualifying for Masters Tours. It seems kind of silly to me. And it also is incredibly stressful because you're either going to get everything and you're going to qualify, or you're going to get second place and get nothing, or 17th place on the ladder and want to jump out your window. Like, whoever gets 17th on ladder, and like me saying this, it might just be me. It's just like, I feel like that person, like, in that moment, once they find out they got 17th, because they probably wouldn't even know it, they probably think they're getting top 16. Like, that feeling of just dread is it's going to be indescribable. Like, I just feel so bad for that person, whoever it may be. Please don't be me. Please don't be me.
No, you're just gonna get 18th.
Okay, well, that's better than 17th, honestly, because then at least you know you weren't like the next person.
Yeah,
like, it's just unhealthy, man. Like, if you got 101, like, you only have yourself to blame. Like, that to me, that's like, you could have just gotten deeper into top 100. Like, if you're 99/rank 100, like, around the last 20 minutes and you don't queue, that's your own fault. Like, you deserve it. But if you're 17, like, it's so hard to want to play. Like, say you're like 15 or 16 with like 5 minutes left or 10 minutes left. Like, that's such a hard, it's like such a hard decision to make, because if you win, obviously you secure it, but if you lose, and but then, like, you know
the guys who are going
to
be on like ranks, it depends on how close the elo is as well, because you know the guy on 17, 18, 19, 20 through 25, all of them are queuing.
Yeah, but it's still like, you can't prevent, like, this is a shit show, like you said, that is just going to happen. And I think the only way to prevent this and make it healthier for players is to just bring back a point system. They had it before, it worked. They just had to do some quality control on the open cups, and they would have been perfect. I think that's honestly what they should do. And hopefully, after maybe the Texas qualifications, they'll realize that, hey, this is really shitty. This whole all or nothing on these open cups kind of thing is just not healthy. Like, maybe I have to die just playing 24 hours straight for them to change something. Like, I remember Ant telling me that. I remember Ant telling me that. He's like, you know what, Ray? Like, if you just die, everything will get better. Like, they'll probably do something after that.
No, they would have jumped to this system sooner if that happened.
Like, when the open cups are like almost 24 hours long, like, I was just like, man, this is how I'm going to die.
So I have a dumb idea. What if at the end of every day, they take the top 16 or the top 25, even the top 100, doesn't matter, and give you points for where you ranked at the end of that day?
I think that's bad, because then every day you need to be involved. I like the way that the ladder system used to be, where it's like someone who works a job, someone like the average Joe can't go in and compete at that level, but someone like me, right? If I have a month where I want to go and try to be top 100 or whatever, I can time all of that around my schedule. I can go through and say, hey, I can go through and on the weekends I can grind this stuff out, and maybe I'll take the day off from work on the final day so I can guarantee the spot. Now it's like you're taking that shot away from those middle tier players who would normally not have any, you just take that away from them, and only the people who are super ladder grinders will have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what a lot of people did. ETC, that is how he got into Grandmasters, was through ladder. He worked a full-time job. There's a bunch of people I know that did the exact same thing, where they would just play on their own time, get themselves in a position to make the climb, and then just take the last day of the month off from work and get there.
Like Shoop, right? Shoop is a good example of that.
Shoop, same thing. I think they're all good examples. They're all working adults. Yeah, they're all working adults, full-time jobs. That's just the plan, and it was easy to schedule around.
Let's do this. Let's say I'm playing, and it just takes a snapshot of my average for that day, every day, on kind of where I've been. So let's say I start at 200, and I get up to rank 16. And I get an average somewhere, right? And then I get so many points for that average, and everybody gets their average together, and they get so many points every day for where they were at that day, whether they played or not, where they were at rank wise for that day. And then you just get points throughout the month, and then whoever are the top 16 point getters for the month. And it's super complicated. It's super complicated.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I think the system, I think the complication of that system is it feeds into it, right? Where, like, then you can't really gauge where you are.
Right, right. I think that's the problem. That's the problem, for sure. But at the same time, you're getting points based on where you've been at throughout the month, and people that are getting rewarded are people that have been successful through the entire month rather than just successful, you know, to get to the point where they're at and then like, okay, for the final 5 hours, I'm going to do this.
I mean, the big thing with the prior setup was even if you weren't able to make the last day, if you were able to get yourself, let's say you need a top 100 finish. Let's say I was at rank 20 the day before, I wasn't going to decay out of 20 in that period. So you could say, all right, there's a grace period where, let's say I need a top. I mean, obviously for some of the tighter finishes, the tighter it is, the closer you need to be there. But there was a lot of leeway where it's like, okay, I only need 2 points this time around. I need to get top 100. I can get into top 20 in this period, and then I can go to whatever event I have during that period where I wouldn't be able to go to it. I think that making the boundaries larger definitely helped out for some of those players.
Yeah. I think that answers the question pretty well, I think.
And it could be one of those things. So with my suggestion on, you know, averaging it out throughout the day, you can actually end up with potentially two icons, one that shows your actual rank, one that shows your average rank, and then your average rank changes as you're progressing through the day. I don't know. I think I'm just trying to think of ways that you could make it so you're not rushing, like you're not rewarding the people that just happen to be in the good spot at the end of the month, right?
Doesn't that happen at every other game though? Something like League of Legends, where you have Challenger and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I've never been a fan of it. Like, I would rather reward someone who worked like throughout the season or whatever, and then you know, gaining points through that, kind of like, you know, think of it like football, you know, football season. I went 12-4. I'm going to the playoffs. You know, it's not, I won the last game of the season and I'm going to the playoffs.
I do agree with that, but I think that the way that this game is set up, that would incentivize, that would skew extremely hardly towards the people who are at the top, right? For the people who are able to play Hearthstone 10 hours a day, they would be able to consistently, no matter just the amount of time play, it turns into the amount of time you can physically put into the game versus how good you are at.
And you can potentially put caps on that too to, you know, make it more fair with the amount of time, but all of it would be like super, super complicated math that I don't think anybody is sane enough to try to do in a game. So, because it's just weird. So, anyway, anything else you guys want to talk about that? Because I think it's time probably to get out of here.
Yeah, I'm ready to poop.
Yep.
And with that said, all right. With that said, I wanted to thank our new patron.
Our new patron.
Thanks to F. He just goes by F. That was the name on the patron thing. For joining our Patreon there. And if you want to join F, put F in chat for Ray needing to poop. Just head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. And one of the perks is getting the show early, which means you get to hear about Ray's exit strategy at the end of the show.
Secret information that only the highest tier patrons or any patron actually, not higher. You know what? It's a good show, okay? It's a good, you get some stuff. It's pretty lit. It's worth it.
Yeah, you get the pre-show. You get the show usually a little bit early. Some good stuff there. But yeah, patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. If you'd like to email us, WellMet@blizzpro.com. and we'll read the email on the show, just like we did there. Had a pretty good discussion about iTunes reviews or Apple Podcasts, or whatever the heck it's called these days. Just head over there, do a search for Hearthstone. You'll find Well Met. Leave us a 5-star review or any review, and we'll read it on next week's show. And then I think that's everything. So shout outs, and how can people get in contact with you? I don't even have Ray's name on here, so I'm going to skip him. Danny.
Well, this week I'm going to skew away from my Battlefy hate. I still think their development team is very bad, but I'm going to give my shout out this week to Team 5 for lighting a spark under everyone's feet and now putting them shift in the meta. This is going to be really fun. I'm super excited.
Yeah. Not only did they have one of the best expansions that they've ever had, then they dropped this on us. It's crazy. Okay. Ray, how about you?
Shout outs to everybody who listens every week. I appreciate it. Even if we have some off weeks where stuff happens and you guys still stick with us, that means a lot, and definitely appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter at PG_Racy and on Twitch at twitch.tv/Racy. No more 591. Twitch took away Racy from whoever had it before and gave it to me. So, you know, we lit.
That's pretty sweet, actually. That they did
it
that.
Is. It is. Dude, that happened. I think they also got me verified on Twitter. Like, all, because it all happened in the same day. So I'm assuming.
Did you ask them about that? Did you go in and like say, "Hey, can I get the Racy thing?" Or did they just do it?
No, no. It was, they scheduled me to be on the front page for the set release, and then they were just like, "We're going to make your Twitch name into Racy."
Oh, nice.
And then I was like, "Okay,
that's cool.
Nice. That's pretty cool." As for me, you guys already gave the shout outs I was going to give, so I will just be repeating it. Both Danny and what Ray said. You can find me on Twitter over at Eldorian. So thanks for thanks for joining us for episode 214 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmetblizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you all next week.